World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm back in the saddle again, boys and girls, back in the saddle. I feel a little bit guilty because I'm here at Pastor Dale Socha's house down here in New Orleans, and his family's all in bed, and I'm over here in this other room screaming at 6 o'clock in the morning, so I'm going to have to try to be on my best behavior, although his wife Michelle's up, and Dale's on the computer, on the real computer here, trying to get us up and rolling there. Got on my brand-new visors that Dale got made for us. Are those something, man? Well, you guys watching right now, this is the first time I feel like I'm on the shopping network or something like that. But are these something? And I've been telling Dale I need a new one because I love my Jesus hat. Remember I told you guys, there's something about that name. You can go God, 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 God all you want to when you mention that name of Jesus. So you put that thing on, and this thing is like flashing lights when you're walking wherever you go, and you're wearing that Jesus hat. So I got off the boat, and Dale had me a couple dozen. I got the red ones. I got the blue ones. So you want to make a donation to us online, we'll shoot one of these out. You know, I feel bad because I have to talk to my daughter, Maggie, who does a lot of the work for me. Boy, I look up. You can see me better. Who does a lot of our book work for us. Out there ordered a visor, and I can't remember who it is. So if that was you, say, Coach, I ordered that thing. And we'll get that right out in the mail to you. Yeah, we're no worse for the wear. I ate way too much. I want to tell you a little bit. You guys, you know, nobody wants to hear about somebody's vacations. I understand that, but I got a few insights that I want to share with you. Boy, Dale's got that big screen up and running. There's my Jesus hat. Dale, it's awesome. So I can see you guys now. I'm looking over my shoulder. It's looking good. That hat looks good. I'm going to share some stuff with you about over here, Dale. Won't distract me too much. Get over in front of this thing. I don't know if is the lighting better over here for me, fellas? Put that thing right there. That hole. There. Yeah, that'd be good. That'll be good. I see. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you sound good, brother.
All right. Thanks, Vinny. Thanks. So I just want to share. First of all, I want to open up today's show in honor of Greg Evenson. You guys say who? Yeah, Greg Evenson. Jared, I didn't send this link to you. If you could go to the website, Steve Quayle, and I'll guide you down to a link on Greg Evenson. I want to talk a little bit about him. And was I don't even know how to explain Greg. I got to know. You know, I've been writing at News Reviews now for probably. Since about 2004, that's 12 years. It's quite a while. And I got to know Greg because he was writing at newsreviews.com at the same time I was writing on it. He came with me and back and forth. Boy, I look a little bit more suntanned today, don't I? And got to know Greg. The things that ever happened is back in 2010, I could be wrong, Whitestone Conference that Steve Quayle hosted out in Bozeman, Montana. I found out there was a conference going on out there, and I'd casually met Steve Quayle. Bear with me a second, okay? Just I feel I owe this to Greg. Steve Quayle was hosting a conference called the Whitestone Conference. And it's one, I can tell you some real stories about how my eyes got opened at that thing. I met Russ Dizdar, John Kyle, and Quayle. I met a lot of really, really great people at that first conference that I went to. I saw that Steve was in the boat in my life. And so I had a friendship with Greg Evenson through email. I never
excuse me right back. So, coach, come on out. And I'll say, I'll give you a free ticket, and I'll even give you a place to stay. And so I went out to bar, and we had a bed breakfast with all the speakers, and it was really, really an unbelievable time. But before we went out there, I contacted Greg. I called Greg. Looking forward to seeing you, man, at Whitestone. And he says, what? So you going to Whitestone? I said, I sure am. I just talked to Quail, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I'm going to meet. And he said, are you leaking? I'm not there. Here are you guys. He said, oh, no, coach. Day when I let the big fan here, so much. The old GM pulled too much. Didn't. Makes sense to me. I don't turn this off and maybe minimize it. There we go. Get rid of me. Yeah, that'd be better. So Evenson said, listen, coach, if you're going to be there, you got to speak. I said, yeah, I'm like, come on. I'm not. He says, well, give me a minute. He says, listen, if coach's going to be out there, you got to have him speak. You ever heard him speak? You got to have him in the head. And Greg calls me back about, I don't know, 15, 12 minutes later. He says, coach, you're on. We don't know where you're going to be in the schedule, but you're on. And I said, wow, unbelievable. So we go out there to this Whitestone conference. There's about 500 people there. And, you know, all the big names up there were doing their thing. And then Greg Evenson, I'm going to tell you a story about Greg. Bear with me. This isn't going to be boring. And this takes us somewhere. And when his turn came to speak, he had an hour and a half scheduled. Was a little bit weak at that time. I'll explain it to you here in a second. He spoke for about half hour, 40 minutes, and then he said, you guys ever heard this guy? Blah, blah, blah. Here, you need to hear from him. And he introduced me. They gave me the microphone, Whitestone, and I let it rip. Those of you who, you know what it's like, I let it rip. It was really, really good, and I always had a real affinity for Greg for giving me that opportunity because, you know, guys, when trial, not, that's not the right word. When you're when you do what we do, when you do what I do, time is of it's just so hard to get good time, you know, FaceTime. You just don't get FaceTime. Evenson gave me half of his speaking time just out of a message that the world needs to hear, and just really, really, really touched my heart. My wife and I, over the last, 5 years or so, we remained friends with Greg. He was a big Green Bay Packer fan. His wife Liz, who he called Betty, spent some time up at their house. And I got to tell you a story, Jared. If you can, I sent you to Steve Quayle's website. There on Steve Quayle's website, if you scroll down on his articles, you'll see one that says Greg Evenson's articles. My screen very well, Jared. So I don't know if you're able to get that up there or not, but you guys will see, Jared. If it gets up there, let me know. Because I want everybody else to be able to follow along with this here real quickly. By the way, kudos tip of my Jesus.
Right there. Yep.
This should say Greg Evenson's articles or something like that, Jared. Tip of my visor to Pastor Dale Soshi, who's over my shoulder here. A fabulous job. I heard from several of you yesterday, just amazed at the teaching that Dale did yesterday. And remember what I told you? A good coach, if the coach is a good coach, he can miss practice and nobody will miss him like normal. And Dale did a great job yesterday carrying the mail for us, putting Michelle and I up here last night. And then Mark Trump on Friday. Mark, I still haven't got a chance to get to the I paid $15 a day for video on the, and might as well have been buried in a hole in my backyard. So I didn't have very good internet. That's why I couldn't be on yesterday to see those Mark and Dale. But I know they were good shows, and sure appreciate those guys stepping up for me like like that. And anybody else out there said, how come he didn't have me on? I can't see on the screen. Did you get Greg Evenson's stuff up there, Jared? No? Are you on his page where, where you scroll down the articles? His website may not make sense here. Anyway, all of Greg Evenson's materials, did he got it? If you can just throw those up on the screen there with it. Like news, Mr. Jared. I'm trying to see if I can find the same thing here. Are they there? Anyway, I don't want to get bogged down on it. Go on. If Jared can get out there at some point, Jared, I'm not criticizing you. I'll go to stevequayle.com, pull up all of Greg Evenson's archived file. And that he was warning about things that were coming. It goes back to 2000, 2006. And then you're going to find out that 2014, maybe, Greg's really, really slowed down. He didn't post a whole lot of articles anymore. I want to tell you this story. A former Texas State Highway Patrolman contacts over the years and got to know a lot of guys who were in the FBI and government. So he became kind of to the deep swamp, except the good guys in the deep swamp. Telling us, worrying about this, telling us how to prep, and he made all types of things. And then an amazing thing happened. I'm sure Greg wouldn't mind me sharing this with you. He was healthy as a horse, big old guy, healthy as a horse. And he lives out in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, about as high up as you can go. In fact, he would probably consider himself more of a Wisconsin guy than a Michigan guy. But he lived way up, I'm telling you, up in the, you know, Michigan's like this, and then over the water, and there's more Michigan. Well, that's where he lived. They called the Upper Peninsula, the Oopers. Well, Greg was always, I mean, he's one of the first guys on with Hagmans and all those guys years and years ago and telling everybody what's going on. The government's doing this and the government's doing that, and had a great love for the Lord and a deep understanding of God and spiritual things. And so Greg's one of the guys that really kind of hooked me. But back, I'm sorry, I can't remember the 2012. He tells the story that he was in his sliding glass door out onto a patio and then surrounded by woods, beautiful house that he lived in. And he said he heard something out in the woods. And he did what most of us would do. He got up off of the couch and he walked over and he put his hands and he looked through the window at what's going on out there, looking through the glass window. And when he looked out through the glass window, he said he saw a light off in the distance. Not a bright light, but it was odd. That light is not supposed to be there. And he said he's looking at it. And the next thing he knew, he was knocked back onto his couch, sprawled out on his couch. Didn't know what had happened at all. And started yelling for his wife to come. And got the squad and they rushed him to the hospital. And they got him all stabilized. This is about five years ago. Got him all stabilized. After they did some study on him, two doctors came to his room and asked him some questions and said, Stevenson, do you live near a power plant? Power plant? Greg said, what? No, I don't live near a nuclear power plant. He said, do you live, is there a cell phone tower that over your house? Also, do you live right under us? He says, Mr. Evenson, we've never seen anything like that. You have deep burns on the back edge of your eyes. And Greg said, no, don't know what you're talking about. And Greg Evenson's health never got better from that moment forward. Greg tried to figure out, was a high-energy weapon? Did somebody get out there and target him and shoot him? And as theorized that whatever it was, that when he looked through the light of the was that light, whatever, was just enough to keep it from killing him. It was certainly something that was designed to take Greg Evenson out. When this this weekend, while we were on the boat, that he passed away, and he'd been in kidney dialysis. Every time I'd call him, he would call me and we'd talk. He loved the Green Bay Packers, and he'd always told me, "Coach, you'd been my coach, I'd been playing for the Packers." And what a great, 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 godly, loving American Christian patriot Greg Evenson was. And I'm better because of him. His wife, Liz, he called her Betty. We grieve for them. The funeral's this Saturday. I'd love to be able to get up to you know, you schedule things out ahead of time. Some things you just can't, unless it's your own day, you can't miss it, you know. So I just want to, this morning, to Greg, the guy he was. Of all the people I've ever run into, I've never seen another speaker say to somebody, "Hey, you can have some of my time." And it's not those guys, not that we're arrogant, but there's so much you want to say. And to think that Greg would open that door for me is something that I'm going to be forever grateful. So that's my. Did anybody out there know Greg or read Greg or understand what I'm talking about at all? Come on in, boys.
Hey, we know of Greg. We're sorry to hear of his demise, but
You would do well to go to that page if Jared did get up on the screen, stevequayle.com, and then go down. It has some of Greg's articles. Go back and do it through a time lapse, right? And realize this guy was writing this stuff 10 years ago, and it's the same stuff that Mark Trump's telling us about with AI and what the government's doing. And so bad that Greg's not alive today to be able to watch the swamp get drained, if it's going to get drained. Issues there on the front is taking place too. Cool. I got something I want to share. Something else I want to share. Just some thoughts. I don't know how my wife puts up with me. She loves me. We had a good time. Went on a cruise before. We went to Cozumel, Mexico. Beautiful water. Rained the whole way down, most of the way back. So, you know, from that standpoint, as you go on a cruise, you get whatever weather you get. Something I told Michelle, I said, I'm going to have to bring this up. And I hope you guys take this in the vein that two things about the cruise that I talk about. People were on the boat probably 1,500, I'm guessing. I don't know. It's a huge floating. And the entire cruise designed to feed the flesh. Casinos, all the food you could eat it. Racy shows if you wanted to, vulgar comedy, what else? Alcohol flowing like you just can't even believe.
Flesh by the pool.
By the pool, the spa, I'm not talking about a guy going in and working out. No. $160 for massage, I've never experienced anything like it. It was totally and completely designed to feed the flesh. I got a real picture of modern day America. You know, it's funny. I talk about my Jesus is my savior, not my religion. And I wore those kind of stuff around, just freak, you know, in this massive of flesh and carnality. I believe the number of people that gave me thumbs up, say, "Hey, I like your shirt, or like your hat, or whatever." Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Meaning, all those are saying to me, "Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom." Just not. And we have made such an idol of our flesh. It would be, you could eat anytime you want to. You could gamble. You could drink. You could buy for $54. Let's think about it. all the drinks that you want. Now, just think about that. $4 a day. Not just for me, but for my wife. $8. Michelle and I could have bought a booze. $8 a day. That would have been $500 for the 4 days that we were there. Water's not stopped. And, you know, I told Pastor Dale the whole time I was looking for a place to preach. And from for Sunday morning, there was not even a mention of a church service. You would think, well, you have 1,500 people, and they all like the shirt, and they all like the hat. They'd like to go to have a church service. No mention of a church service, just booze and tequila and silver. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. And so I was thinking this morning, Jared, if you can pull it up on the screen, turn to 1 Corinthians. We're finding a real fight. Before Jared goes there, let me point out something else. And I may know how to say this in a kind way. And so I'm trying to be mean. There is something, folks, in our food. I don't know what it is. There's something in our food. I'm just telling you. Massively huge rear ends on women on that boat. And I said to my wife, I said to Michelle, she didn't catch me. She didn't have to worry about me looking on hind ends because, gee, it's like Mack trucks. What is it? What is in our food? Women get so fat around the hips. I can't even tell you how massive some of these butts were, right?
I don't think it's the food. I think it's the lack of activity.
It can't just be they don't exercise. There has to be something more to it than that. That either we're eating empty calories or there's something in the food or – and it shows the outward expression of such an inward hunger. People who are chasing this physical, indulgent lifestyle. I don't know, man. I don't know what. There's something in our food. There has to be. On that, anybody notice that? Yeah, and you know what else I noticed too? Well, our trip was probably about 25%. Blacks. There must be a thriving black middle class out there. That's the only thing I can say. Ones that you don't hear about, you don't see about. We saw a lot, man. There were a lot of them. And there were those good old southern. I mean, man, they were everywhere. That sounds racist, doesn't it? I mean, but where I live, it's 10-12% of people. It's 25% black. And so this idea that the blacks are falling behind in the economy. I don't know if that's true or not. I just don't know.
It's a psyop, brother. That's what it is.
Yeah, thanks, Dale. They were black families. That Michelle was so encouraging. And wives and kids. Oh, man, this is in my heart. Because there are intact and families that are, they seem to have made in middle class America is a good sign, except we all needed to get together and a little bit. We didn't get much of a chance to get much sense. Dale said some of them ate middle class Americans. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Anybody have any thoughts on the food?
Hey, Coach.
Do you have any thoughts about that? The GMOs. Remember John Hartzler came on, talked to us about the GMOs. If you saw some of the asses, I'm sorry. If you saw some of them that I saw, I would say to my wife, look at that. Look at that.
Hey, Coach, it's very simple, brother.
Big. How can your butt get that big? And then I said to Michelle, how do you order pants? I'm telling you, your waist is 50, and you're, how do you get pants? Oh, my goodness.
day coats. It's very easy.
Put there on the, what people are eating. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Okay, so the GMOs. Listen, I could do a show about GMOs for you guys if you ever need a refresher. But let's get back to this whole psyop about black people not doing well. Black people do well when everyone else does well. But they, when they're not being put on a plantation, the Democrats have put black people on a plantation ever since. Mm. They're the ones who started the KKK. They're the ones giving gives me that to black people and then keeping them on the EBT.
Well, but Vince, whatever my wife suggested to me, maybe it's fast food. Maybe they're eating
when
a
black,
lot of
when
the fast
black,
food.
When the black, the,
it wasn't just black.
When the blacks are doing good.
And
right?
I saw some of the whitest hind ends. I just couldn't. I couldn't even believe it. And
hey, Coach.
It made me take a long, hard look at myself again. I'm thinking, I keep growing a belly. Who am I to be poking fun at somebody else? I try to watch what I eat. I try to exercise. Why are some having a fight over their bellies? What is going on? Guys, do you remember back? Do you remember? I told my wife when you were in college. Can you name some big old fat butt that you? You know any big fat butts? Now that's 40 years ago. When you were growing up, you're going to high school, were there these great big broad rear ends? No. I remember Snooky Smith. I played one. He was 250. He was about 6'3", 250. I mean, they're 450. 450. I don't know what's going on, man. But it ain't good. It isn't good.
It's bad. And all so these my people heart on these prime motor scooters, man. This shouldn't be.
Really good.
But think about it.
If you know, there's one thing you're not allowed to be in this. You're still allowed to make fun of fat people, and that's sad, because those people they couldn't be happy, couldn't be.
Right.
And it grieves me.
Don't underestimate the lifestyle and creating the broad back ends. I mean the amount of just walking the amount of physical activity that people are getting today is minuscule compared to what it was just 60 years ago.
Exactly.
I agree with Larry, but when it comes to men growing a belly, it has a lot to do with estrogen, and if you have an excess of estrogen as a male, your belly fat actually grows in the front and becomes bulbous. And I don't know if that...
Right.
Has anything to do for with some, a woman's black burden expression, but that whole bulbous thing has to do with the children bearing. So maybe that estrogen level connected to soy, and soy is in everything because we all know soy is 90% GMO. That
yes.
could be the connection you're looking for, Coach.
Yeah,
I
don't know what it is. It has to be something. I saw some of the most beautiful young black girls, maybe 17, 18 years old, and their rear ends were like a Mack truck. I'm thinking of those first one. I thought, those poor girls. In this world where we skinny little people and everything, and you know. And then I said to Michelle, maybe that's why Beyonce butt implants. Maybe that's why the Kardashians.
Yes.
Getting those butt implants is maybe that's insta. I don't know, but there's something. My heart is towards people who I fight my way all the time. I fight it, and we're so conscious in what we look like and all that kind of stuff. And it's the one group of people that you're still allowed to look at and laugh at and say, "Oh, he's just fat and lazy," and that's just not true. True. There's something else going on there. I don't know what it is.
Hey, Coach.
It's high fructose corn syrup and the GMOs.
Yeah. It's gotta be something.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Hey, Coach.
Dale said they're from New Orleans and ate fried food. That's what he tried to warn me. He said, man, oh man. It is something, man. It's something. They'll survive I don't know how long. That's for sure. Okay, let's
hey,
see.
Coach.
I'm in First Corinthians 10. Maybe Jared can pull that up there for me. Guys, there's such a spiritual hunger in America. Spiritual hunger. I've walked in, so those of you who have been on a boat that's 10 stories high and 300 yards long. You walk down, you go up steps and down steps, and you go into areas. They have big casino, then they have auditoriums, and they have, I mean, they got all kinds of rooms. And just see the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And understand what a strong, strong spiritual battle it is that we're up against. And that there are a lot of people out there. I got to move back and do my teaching on the Holy Spirit, which I threatened to do about 2 months ago and never really got around to it. And I don't know about you guys, anybody else out there. I used to be a boozer. I'd been one of those $54 a day guys. That sounds like a lot, but a drink was almost 10 bucks to get a mixed drink was 10 bucks. So do the math on that thing, right? I remember the day when I would have been sitting there pounding down the Bud Lights or whatever, and you know, sitting in the sun and just laughing and being crude and cruel. How once you receive the Holy Spirit, how that Holy Spirit is constantly, oh, you can almost feel the Holy Spirit turn his head. You know what I'm talking about? You see some things and you hear some things, and that Holy Spirit in you almost turns his head away from it. Doesn't want to hear it, and it grieves. It grieves me. And it's not that I think I'm holier than thou, or we come across as holier than thou, or anything. But to be able to understand that just how lost people are, and what they're looking for out there, and how we in religion have just taken this same desire for stuff and have. Is that the right word to say? We've blessed it. We're now blessing to get to go on cruises and blessings to have a good time and blessings. And so much of it grieves the Holy Spirit. But a lot of people don't understand that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Remember this. It says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, what is that? The devil, and how does the devil manifest in our own lives? Now, remember, I the last time we were together, which I think was Thursday, although I've kind of lost track of time. Remember, I said there's a personal gospel, and then there's a gospel of the kingdom of the world. There's a personal Jesus, and then there's a Jesus, an all-conquering, soon-coming king. And you can't get trapped in just one part of the gospel, the me, I. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, gospel, and ignore this other one that tells us to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints, for Christ died for the whole world, not just for the individual people, taught yesterday, writing your story. He's constantly writing your story, and he's the author and the finisher of your faith. And to realize that all these battles that we find ourselves in, it's like, oh, man. So much is being missed. So much being missed in the gospel. And that the purpose of Christ, remember, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, 1 John 3:8, that he would destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? I'm going to pause there a minute. What are the works of the devil? Now, again, we can think cosmically, but we also have to think, because the devil's works appear first individually, and they impact cosmically. I'm going to show you a video here in a second. I noticed this when Michelle and I got off the boat. You have to go through customs, and the guy working there was really nice, and he asked where we were from, and he'd been to Ohio, and he asked some questions about it, and he let us go through. And I said to my wife, you know, it's amazing. The corruption of government, the corruption of business, the corruption of religion, the corruption of whatever, always begins with the individual. And I wonder,
hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I believe it's intentional when we focus on works of Christ. When we're doing works of our Lord, it's intentional, and we got to try. So when you ask, what are the works of Satan? It's for me, it's any works that aren't intentionally for Jesus are of Satan.
You don't even have to try to do the devil's works, do you, Mark? You just live.
No, no. Amen. Amen. You just have to not focus on Christ. The minute you start a relationship with him, you start building your relationship with the devil. It's all your time that you're not focusing on Christ.
Yeah, the Bible puts it this way. It says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Amen, Larry. I think it's just that simple, Dave. So you can look at it in a global cosmic way, but individually, where do we focus our brain, our mental activity? That's what it means.
I agree with you, Mark. But then I lead to this. Andrew McCabe just resigned or got fired, whatever it was. Where did he go wrong? If he were going to be a crook, would you go into the FBI? What happened along the way? Remember, I'm talking about this guy looking at my passport. Would it have been possible to slip him $100 and be able to sneak something through? Yeah, probably. Maybe not him, but that's how it starts, isn't it? Isn't that how sin and evil stuff, isn't that how it starts?
And that's where, you know, that's where kneeling is going. And there's a story about a teacher who is condemning our military, you know, making fun of them with the children. I mean, that kneeling is a protest, I agree. But if we can't look at the borders that we live within and establish that one common ground, the flag, you know, why use that for a point of protest when we all live here? You know, so that slips into the classroom. Now teachers are adopting these stances, and they just make no sense at all. And they're leading our children.
Well, it makes no sense at all, Mark. And that's why you begin to wonder, these highly educated people, what does that even mean anymore to be highly educated? And when you get highly educated, you have to have lost your common sense, right? I mean, you really believe that you choose to be a boy or a girl, and we're teaching that? And that's become commonplace, and it's coming to a school district near you if it hasn't already come. The teaching of this that all of us know doesn't make any sense at all, being taught to us, and we're oblivious to it because we don't have the Holy Spirit that guides us in all truth, and to hear how people just repeat what they've heard.
Hey, Coach?
It's amazing. Yes.
Is it highly educated or indoctrinated in order to follow their rules?
Well,
right.
It's a matter of who's doing the teaching, isn't it? I always tell everybody when I do one of my presentations in the schools, I say indoctrination and education are the same thing. But see, Paul, the Lord told us not to seek, but it's wisdom that we're to seek. Wisdom. And what is wisdom? The wisdom is the application of what you know. And so I was amazed. I want you to think about this too, Corinthians. All of the people on the boat who worked on the boat, about 1,500 of them, most of them were Filipinos. Although they said there were 50 different on the boat. That's what they told us. Workers, 50 different nationalities. And these people were just, they were just service people. You know, they cleaned up your table. They made your bed. They were just service people. And I talked to, got one young girl to sit down with. I said, where are you from? She said, Philippines. It's amazing, isn't it? They can all speak English. Broken, but they can speak English. She says she's from the Philippines. I said, how long did you sign up for? She says, 8 months. I stay 8 months, and I get 2 months off. And then I decide if I want to come back. And first of all, none of them fat. None of them were fat. But then I realized that this cruise ship was their way out of the world that they were in. They were fleeing probably, well, we can't even imagine the type of poverty that they were fleeing. They came and lived on this boat and probably sent their money back home. And Americans, we're so... We're so decadent. This. We can't get enough stuff, so we got to pay and get on a boat and go have more food stuffed down our throat and $54 a day drinks and gambling. Because why? There's no purpose to our lives. In Corinthians, I better get there. I'm going to miss it. I got a video I want to share. Not real edgy this morning, just trying to get back in the swing of things here. If you bear with me here, I'm gonna read. I can't see who's in the queue, sir. I'm gonna read this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Jared, maybe you can get it up on the screen. I don't see the screen. It says this: Moreover, brothers, I would not that you should be ignorant. What does it mean to be ignorant? I think we shared that before. The root word is ignore. To be ignorant means to ignore what you know, ignore what you see. Somebody could say you're stupid and you're ignorant. Because if you're ignorant, you know better. You just choose not to do it. The Lord said, I'd have you not be ignorant. How that all of our fathers were under this cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All did eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. It was Christ. Thank them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. What do you suppose that means, Dale? They were overthrown. That boat was the wilderness. I'm telling you, America is the wilderness. We're not talking about being out in the woods hunting deer. In the wilderness, man. And many, many are being overthrown in the wilderness. Stay with me. Remember talking about the Holy Spirit now, right? And whether being led and directed by the Holy Spirit. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples. That's what Dale was talking about, wasn't it? Right in the, your life, the author and the finisher of your faith. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Who lusted? Them folk in the wilderness. Full of lust, evidently. And so many are trapped in it, had no victory over it. Jeff, did you quit smoking yet? Huh? Have you got victory over those cigarettes yet? Come on, Jeff. In the wilderness. Jeff, be mad at that. No, he won't get mad at me. Verse, we're talking about lusting. Being overthrown in the wilderness. Started out by saying, moreover, brothers, wouldn't want to be ignorant. He says, here's what happened. It's all over under the cloud. The ability to, verse 7 says, but neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Can you say carnival cruise? Neither let us commit fornication and committed and fell in one day. 23,000 fell in one day over fornication. Stay with me. How about this one? Neither let us tempt Christ. Wow, huh? That would take some, as they say, some hair on your chest to tempt Christ. Neither let us commit, I'm sorry, I lost my place. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted. They were destroyed as serpents. Boy, I saw some of those serpents. Bear with me, we're heading someplace. Verse 11. Now, all of these things happened unto them for examples. There it is, Dale, writing their stories. There's their stories. Examples, and there are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, here's where I'm heading. This is what separated me. For many. There may have been, there are a lot. I'm not saying holier than thou. But here's my power. Right? Here's my power. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. I could drink a beer. I could gamble. I love to play blackjack. Didn't, but love to play it. I love looking at eating food. I loved on that. But see, there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or permit you beyond that which you can withstand, but with the temptation, he will provide a way out. See, that's the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, he provides a way out. And I think back to the old story when the old cartoon where they had the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other, right?
Amen.
And the devil's over here. The devil would be whispering in your ear that you want to do this, and the angel would be saying, no, you don't want to do this. See, that is so real. That's the Holy Spirit inside all of us. And if we're not able to hear that voice, prisoners in the wilderness. We just wander in the wilderness. And I think that's the main thing that's missing in modern American Christianity, is the idea that a relationship with Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit frees you from a given into temptation. I'm going to start a fast, and I'll talk more about that for several different reasons. The gluttony on the boat.
Very good, brother. Very good.
And so I'm going to start a fast. I'll share with you when I'm going to do it, and I would maybe appeal to some of you out there to begin the fast with me. And I'm going to go on, I think, an extended one. And you don't have to. Maybe you could, if you've never fasted, maybe you could start out with a day. Don't eat it. Purposely don't eat it and give that time, dedicate that time to the Lord. And then maybe you could pass on to fast and breakfast and lunch. And begin to grow a little bit in your spiritual strengths, what we need to do. So that's down the horizon. I'm about out of time. I got to show this video up here, Jared. I think I gave you, sent you a video, Jared. It's on my Facebook page, if you can go there real quick.
Hey, I just recommend maybe,
go ahead.
Maybe the fast, you don't do with breakfast. But the other meals, yes.
Well, whatever. Or, you know, you can start out with, there's a lot of different fasts. You could say, I'm not going to eat any sugar. I'm not going to have any sugar, have any carbohydrate. I'm not going to eat any, whatever. You could pick out what it was. Jeff could say he's not going to have any cigarettes. Jeff could go on a fast and break the power of that thing. Because it says right here, there's no temptation. There's no temptation. What does no mean?
No.
I mean, none. Ain't none. And no temptation. The man, everybody likes to eat, everybody likes to have sex, everybody likes to do crazy stuff, but hey, it's all just temptation. You don't have to. So to kind of wrap this up here today, the swamp's been drained. I haven't boned up on it enough because I've been on the ship, so I'm not talking about this morning. I want to show you a video that I did see that is just former president of Haiti was in a meeting with Bill Clinton, I'm sorry, with meeting with Donald Trump during Donald Trump's campaign. See, America, we have got to have justice. If we don't have justice in America, fellas, there's not, remember, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When we see our leaders continue to get away with ungodly things, it's not good for the heart of believers. It's not. So this is about a 6-minute video of the president of Haiti. Somebody filmed this. The president of Haiti having a conversation with Donald Trump about the Clinton Foundation and what took place in Haiti. Jared, do you have to think, pull that up? This is about 6 minutes, and it's one of the most devastating things I've ever heard.
Where's my popcorn? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Senate in Haiti in 1994 when Bill Clinton invaded the island. And I have the records about the Clinton Foundation. And I want to have a few minutes today to talk about that. First of all, to understand where I come from, I am from both cultures. I am from the American culture because I came here at a very early age. And while you went to New York Military Academy, I went to New Jersey, the Military Academy in New Jersey. About the same time, we are about the same age. You could have been my underclassman. So really, it's, you understand me and I will understand you. Okay? So, but my dream was to go back to Haiti. to do for Haiti what I had seen in the United States. Free enterprise system, the justice system you have here, and fight corruption in Haiti. And in 1991, I was elected Senator of Haiti. The same year, Jean-Bertrand Aristide was elected president. In February of 1994, I became president of the Senate. And I had to deal with the Clinton invasion of Haiti. And I learned so much about the Clinton because I was working so much with the American intelligence at that time. Clinton wanted to buy me out. And I remember that I was hitting very hard on several fronts. Today Show, Good Morning America, and once I was in Nightline with Senator Dole. And to try to appease me, he sent me Bill Richardson, who was actually congressman at that time. And I spent 4 hours with Bill Richardson in my office in Port-au-Prince explaining to him how they should not invade Haiti and how this was a bad idea to return Aristide to power. And I even mentioned that President Reagan in 1986 had sent one airplane to pick up Duvalier. I said, that's the way to do it. You want to get rid of those generals? Send an airplane. I will help them into that airplane. So we spent 4 hours. I discussed it with Bill Richardson because I said to Bill, take the message back to President Clinton. I know you are here because he sent you. A week later, after my conversation with Bill Richardson, the American embassy called me, as it was often the case, and they said, President Clinton has a messenger for you. I said, send him over. He came, did not give me his name, but told me, Mr. Sensory, you join our movement. You side with Bill Clinton in this invasion and will make you the richest man in Haiti. I said, sir, tell President Clinton for me Bernard Sensory is not for sale. I have principle and I love my country. A week later, by executive order, Clinton revoked my visa. I was then a resident of the United States. I am now a citizen of the United States. And this is how it's been in Haiti. The Clinton, when they, after the invasion, they started a cellular company called Fusion International. To make a long story short, now it's Digicel who is taking over, and his friend Dennis O'Brien has given millions to the Clinton Foundation. In 2010, the earthquake of Haiti, not only American taxpayers, but the whole world has given billions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation for the Haitians. Not even 2% of that money went back to Haiti. So Mr. Trump, we are asking you, begging you, the Haitian community will side with you if one day you ask Hillary Clinton publicly to disclose the audit of all the money they have stolen from Haiti in 2010 after the earthquake. Haiti is a very poor country. Haiti needs defenders. You said you will champion our cause. We welcome you, sir. And we will work with you. But please, ask publicly Hillary Clinton, during your next debate, to publish the audit of all the money they have stolen from Haiti. Yes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So it goes back to where I circled back around where I started with the guy standing, having a conversation with me, and me wondering, could I buy this guy off for $100? Because the heart unrestrained by the Holy Spirit of God is desperately wicked. we look at our culture, we look at our society, and we're seeing wickedness every area of our nation. I posted last night, real quickly, when I finally got some internet, just a meme on my Facebook page, and that meme was this: what government agency do you trust? And see, we can't trust it because there's no righteousness. And so if we could imagine the guy who would take $100 from me on the dock to let me bring something illegal on, if he could figure out a way to profit off of that, can you imagine? And then he begins to pay his other buddies. And then he rises up the ranks and he becomes the supervisor. And then he moves from being the supervisor and just all this money flowing in, flowing in, flowing in. And it's all happening. Why? Because of idolatry. The lust of the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Have to consume, to fill this chunk of clay full of stuff on the outside that will never, ever totally and completely fulfill us or satisfy. The only answer we have in America, boys and girls, the only answer is the gospel. It's the only answer. It's our only chance to return back to morality. Somebody help me finish it up here some morning.
You got it, brother. We got to bring God back to America.
I pray the Clintons and every one of those buggers get perp walked. I pray they do it. Fellas, the only way you can come to America is if those who are in positions of authority pay a price for the dastardly deeds that they've done. I don't care if it's John Boehner. I don't care if it's George W. Bush. Perp walk them all.
Frog march them.
Frog march, whatever. And it's only going to happen, see, if those of us who are righteous through Christ demand it. Jeff Klein, Jeff, my buddy Jeff right here, I think I spoke to him last night. Jeff's running for county commissioner in his local town here in Ohio. He went to a prayer breakfast Saturday morning to get signatures to get on the ballot. Needs 50 signatures to get on the ballot. Goes to this men's prayer breakfast to get signatures. And what do you suppose they told him? We don't mix politics here.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's where we are, fellas. That's what we're fighting.
Wow.
A righteous guy coming and they're going to lay himself on the line. Sorry, we can't sign petitions here. We're holier than that, right? Right. So we got a lot of problems, baby. There's a lot of corruption. There's a lot. If you think that there isn't corruption inside these big churches, man, I'm telling you, the heart unrestrained by the Holy Spirit is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Think what you could do right now if you knew you could get away with it, man. Wow. Somebody help me wrap it up.
Glad you made it back. Yeah, that coach, that passage of scripture you just quoted from Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is wicked and deceitful above all else, who knows it? Verse 14 is the hope. It says, I cried out, hear me, Lord, and I will be saved.
Amen, brother.
That's it, brother. The only hope.
Hey, by the way, Dale just jumped on. Would you guys all tell him how much you appreciate what he did for you yesterday?
Dale, you rock yesterday, brother.
Excellent.
Yeah, you were on fire yesterday, Dale.
Brother, that was the Holy Spirit. Thank you all for those encouraging words, and I thank Coach. Just like I said, it's a great group of iron sharpening iron. It should be called the Iron Men Show, but we got women in there.
Ooh. Amen.
All right, boys, listen. I'm going to be back in my man cave tomorrow. I'm going to be loaded for bear, and we'll have us a good old time. God bless y'all. Thanks for putting up with us here the last few days, and we'll get back into our stride. Ms. John and I will be this afternoon in good old Columbus, Ohio, 16 degrees. God bless you.
Oh, boy.